From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. There's one word that politicians almost always use when they talk about the U.S. immigration system. They say it's broken. But what does that really mean? Well, residents of the small town of Brewster, Washington know. For decades, immigrants have come from Mexico, often illegally, to work the surrounding apple and cherry orchards. Jessica Robinson traveled to Brewster and found a microcosm of how the immigration debate is playing out.
Most people in Brewster's immigrant community either have heard about or remember December 1997. That was when La Migra came. A Border Patrol plane flew overhead, and vans and buses pulled up at a fruit packing facility outside of town. Lucia Dalabera was there.
Oh, es lo más triste.
The saddest part, says Dalabera, was the families. Mothers sent back to Mexico while their husband and children stayed in this small town in north-central Washington along the Columbia River. Then came the second raid in March 1998. It was exactly 3 months later to the day, leading people to wonder for years when the next one would be. I lived in fear, says Dalabera, always wondering when immigration would come find me. It took until the fall of 2009 for the next big raid to come, and it was far bigger. But this one didn't come with planes or vans. By most accounts, it came in the form of paperwork.
No vino la migra, pero a cada quien entregaron una carta.
We were given a letter, says Dalabera. It said there's no more work. Yes, the raid was in a different form this time, but the result was the same. Parents out of work.
¿Qué haces?
What do you do? It was the same
golpe.
Blow. Geber's Farms is Brewster's biggest employer and one of the largest apple growers in the nation. It was the target of the Obama administration's new brand of immigration raid, called an audit. By 2010, Geber's had been forced to switch to a guest worker program, and 500 undocumented workers, or maybe more, were fired. It was a huge hit for a town of 2,300 people. 3 years later, the initial panic has subsided. Members of the high school baseball team practice batting before the sun disappears behind the mountains. It's hard to say exactly what happened to all the workers who were fired, but one thing is clear. Many people stayed and found work elsewhere, using a different name. Baseball coach Jared Riggin says, in the end, not much has changed in Brewster.
I would say it had no effect. More workers came in and kind of filled the roles that were lost. Geber's Farms is a pretty big employer, and when they have a need, they got to fill it.
But members of the Hispanic community say a lot has changed for them. Minerva Alvarado owns a clothing shop on Main Street in Brewster. Alvarado sells clothes for baptisms, communions, birthdays, weddings.
Baby shower.
But ever since the audit, Alvarado says fewer people are throwing big parties. People are trying to save, she says. There's less job security here. People keep waiting for immigration to come again. Next door, Esteban Camacho runs a grocery store in Delhi. He serves homemade Mexican bread and tacos.
Real tacos with handmade tortillas.
But he's also learned how to make coconut rice and jerk chicken for hundreds of Jamaican workers who now work the orchards on seasonal guest worker visas. Camacho says they're bused into town only a few times a week, and they send almost all of their money home.
Business is getting a little better, but never going to be the same as before. I'm pretty sure about that.
Geber's Farms itself has remained silent on the audit. The company did not respond to repeated interview requests for this story. But according to the Washington Farm Labor Association, Geber's is one of 35 growers in the state now using the guest worker program. The industry complains it's an expensive system that requires a company to coordinate with six different government agencies. And it still doesn't provide enough workers. The association estimates as many as 70% of agricultural workers in Washington are not what they call work authorized. Ron Uhls is the police chief in Brewster. Trophies from his deer hunting trip stare out over his office downtown. Uhls says there's been a noticeable decline in calls to the police since the audit, which he attributes to the strict criteria for guest worker visa holders. But in the end, Uhls says the federal government didn't stop the flow of undocumented workers to Brewster.
It did nothing. That's the thing is, they hit the media and it looks like this great big thing, but the reality, the end result truly is, other than putting a financial burden on a local business and disrupting the lives of the residents around here, did it truly make a change? I don't believe so, no.
Uhls points to one indication of that. School enrollment didn't go down as predicted. It went up.
Isn't that beautiful?
You get an idea of the sheer magnitude of the agricultural industry here on a hill overlooking Geber's vast orchards.
It's phenomenal, really, when you see that it's by human hands that all these apples get picked.
Helen Davis has brought me here. She works for a domestic violence center in OMAC. Her own family is originally from Mexico, and she works closely with immigrants in Brewster. Davis says some of the fired Geber's workers who did leave are now coming back. Meanwhile, she's been watching the political tides turn this year in favor of some sort of immigration reform. But Davis has heard that before.
I have always said, if we could have the politicians out here, standing out here where we are right now and watching the people work. And I have thought about this so often, about inviting them to come up here and just watching, just listening.
Davis points off in the distance where there's a bend in the Columbia River. Around that bend are even more orchards, all the way north to the border. I'm Jessica Robinson reporting.
Are you an undocumented immigrant? Were you an undocumented immigrant? Give me a call and tell me about your experience and your hopes for immigration reform. I'd really like to hear your story. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Perhaps you came to the U.S. with legal documents but stayed after they expired. You became undocumented. Tell me about it. It's 800-289-5869. Or maybe you followed the rules. You came to the U.S. legally. Although we talk a lot about undocumented immigrants, 75% of immigrant residents are here with legal status. Only 25% are here illegally. What's your take on immigration reform? Write to me, conversation@kuow.org. A couple of facts to help calibrate our discussion. Most of the immigrants in Washington State do not come from Latin America. 40% come from Asia, 31% from Latin America. The top three countries of birth for Washington immigrants are Mexico, the Philippines, and Vietnam. This all according to the 2010 census. Well, KUOW reporter Liz Jones' beat is immigration and diversity issues. Her award-winning work has taken her to central Mexico, and she's also lived in Spain and Peru. And Liz, in your reporting work and otherwise, do you encounter a lot of people who want to come here?
Oh, yeah, you hear that all the time. And what you hear most frequently is people want to come here maybe just for a few years. I think it's going to be a short-term prospect. Come here, earn some money, experience life here, send money back home, or take it back with them. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years go by, and then they realize this is my new adopted home. I'm here. I'm invested here. I've had children here. I've made friends here. I've got a good job here. And so they're thinking, it takes a while for the thinking to kind of shift from temporary to now this is my home. And then they move to, I'm going to live here the rest of my life, but bury me back home. So there's still a big attachment to their home country, but they come here for so many reasons. I think you hear this over and over, for job opportunities, for education, for family benefits, and just the draw of the U.S., it's the job market.
It's really interesting. You said often they come here thinking it'll be a short-term thing. What do they tell you about why it turns into a longer-term thing? Why do their plans change after they get here?
I think this is maybe where the reality doesn't meet the expectation. They think they're going to come here and be able to make a bunch of money quickly, and that's just not the case. They without legal documentation, there are certain jobs you can get that don't pay very well, and then the expenses of living here. So a lot of immigrants find themselves just breaking even, or you know, barely scraping by just to make ends meet. So they invest more time. They've already made this huge journey to come here, risked a lot to come here, and they want to get a good return on that investment. So, you know, years just keep building onto each other. And along the way, they're starting to really become Americanized. They're starting to fall in love with the life and the lifestyle here. So those two things kind of combining lead to a long-term life here.
Well, perhaps you're an undocumented worker. 206-543-5869. We have on the line with us Alicia Torres. She came to the U.S. in 1996 from Mexico to seek a better life for her family. Alicia, thank you so much for talking to us today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Are you here with your entire family?
I'm alone.
And tell me, why is it that you came?
I came looking for a better life for my children. We came escaping from poverty.
And has it worked out to your hopes and expectations? Did it turn out the way you had hoped it would?
Not at all. We're still poor. We're still working hard and struggle a lot. But we are in a better situation.
Tell me a little bit about your husband. I understand he experienced a beating in a job that he had. Is that right?
Yeah, he had a job in 1997. And, yeah, he had, someone came suddenly and just beat him with a hammer.
What happened? I mean, that's an assault. Did he call the police? Did he call his boss?
We called his boss and we asked her, please call the police because those guys just beat my husband and his head injured. And those guys need to learn that they did wrong.
Did anything happen to them, Alicia?
No, because they told the boss, if you call the police on me, I'm going to call immigration on you because you are hiding illegal immigrants.
Hey, Alicia, as you're probably aware, there's a lot of talk in the other Washington about immigration reform. What would you like to see if immigration reform comes about? What are your hopes?
Well, I just hope that every family like my family have the chance to get a better life, the dream that we are pursuing, and have our family united. I wish that my family cannot break apart like I've seen on other families.
Hey, Alicia, thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Liz Jones, our reporter, is with us also. And I understand that it's not uncommon that people who are here illegally might have crimes committed against them, but there's a fear of going to the police and no way to get justice.
Yeah, this has been a major tension between law enforcement and immigrant advocates and also Border Patrol and Department of Homeland Security trying to figure out how to work all this. So you have sometimes local law enforcement, local police, Forest Service, working with Border Patrol as an interpreting service. So they'll stop somebody on the highway, they'll call the Border Patrol and say, I need Spanish language assistance, and they'll come and find out the person is here in the country illegally. And it creates a lot of fear in immigrant communities. You hear that a lot, that people are afraid to pick up the phone if there's a situation like domestic violence or a workplace issue. They're afraid of retaliation. So that's been a big tension here.
Now, let's recap a little bit about the key issues that are going into immigration reform. Of course, there's the path to citizenship issue, that folks who are here who are undocumented, there are many who feel as though we're not going to send these 11 million people back. We have to figure out a way to allow them into our society. But then a lot of confusion about, well, there are a lot of people already in line who have come here legally. What are some of the resolutions they're looking at for that part of the issue?
Well, it's interesting. I spoke to a former Labor Secretary, Ray Marshall, who was a Labor Secretary during the Carter administration, and he had a lot of helpful insight about what happened then, because that was the last time we passed a major immigration bill in 1986. So comparing that to now and where we're at. And he was saying the only sensible solution is a path to legalization for the estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants here now. The idea of trying to send everybody home or major crackdowns that would send people home just have failed in the past or just is an unreasonable prospect. And he made the point that as long as you have a huge population of unauthorized workers, you can never make your legal system work. You can never make your legal system for foreign workers be effective because employers will turn to that pool of unauthorized workers. So a lot of people are really feeling like it has to be a comprehensive approach. It has to be a multi-part system that because all of these things are so dependent on each other. So you've got your workplace enforcement, you've got border security, you've got legalization for the people who are currently here. And then you've got, a real contentious piece is a way to manage the future flow of foreign workers. And that's something that labor and business are really kind of fighting over right now.
And I want to get back to that, like what in particular about immigration reform affects us here in the Northwest. But let's talk to another person who's in the country, who's been undocumented. Alicia Frances is giving us a call from here in Seattle. Alicia, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Hi.
I understand you've been waiting on the immigration department for quite some time for something you'd like to get done. What is that, and how long have you been waiting?
I have waiting for 18 years. Actually, 18 years. My brother-in-law is married with a U.S. citizen, so he asked for my husband and me, and we were in Mexico. So we started waiting there for 2 years, and after 2 years we decided to come here because my husband lost his job. So we decided to to continue to wait in U.S., but I never thought that we need to wait for a long time. Right now, we are waiting in U.S. like 16 years, and we are in process. In our case, probably we need to wait for another year, according to my lawyer.
Alicia, being in this legal limbo, is it hard for you and your family to find work?
Yes, definitely. Every time is very difficult to find a job because they e-verify, they no match letter. So you need to look around and see and some opportunity. And the opportunity you have is there are very bad conditions, salaries or schedules, something like that. But you need to do that. I never expect we need to do that in order to wait for our case here.
It sounds like you're in the process now. Would immigration reform affect you? Are there things you'd like to see changed in the law here that would affect your life?
Yeah. If something happened in the immigration, we can probably, my husband and me, we can become the first persons and we can fix our legal status, because according with the lawyer, we need to wait another year, 1 or 2 years more.
Alicia, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Let's talk a little bit more about the work situation, Liz. And that's a big issue here in the Northwest, because there are a lot of businesses, both high wage and low wage, that take advantage of foreign workers here, right?
Right. Washington State is kind of uniquely draws on foreign workers on different ends of the spectrum. We've got companies like Microsoft that depend heavily on the H-1B program, which is the foreign worker or high-tech workers. And this is a program where a lot of people can come in as high-tech workers and petition for green cards. The company will petition on their behalf for them to get green cards, become citizens. On the other side, we've got huge agriculture in eastern Washington and throughout Washington, western Washington as well, that also depends big time on foreign workers. Right now, you see them depending a lot on undocumented workers. We do have a guest worker program in place for agricultural workers to use and employers to use, but it's very little used. There's no cap on that program, but you just don't see it getting used by workers. They say there's too much red tape. You can't really predict ahead of time. It's hard to predict ahead of time and get all the approvals that you need to have your workforce in place when the harvest season comes. So it's a lot easier for them to just turn to people in their community for that labor.
Who are undocumented.
Right, who are undocumented. So you're seeing a lot of talk right now about ways to improve those systems. And on the labor side, they really wanted to avoid what we've seen in the past, which is workers tied to employers. They want workers to be more like free agents, come here at times when the U.S. is producing a lot of jobs, give them visas, make them available to go and pursue work on their own rather than be tied to a specific employer. They're concerned about workplace conditions, working conditions, and wages for those workers. On the business side, they're really concerned about having enough people. They want to make sure that there's enough of, you can turn that faucet on full steam when we have a shortage of workers here.
Now, the research I've seen from both proponents of immigration reform and opponents suggests that overall, it's good for the economy to have immigrants coming here because they do jobs, they do a variety of things. But it's not good for everybody. There's some indicated that there's some downward pressure on people in the United States who don't have a high school education, who can't work in skilled jobs. Does immigration reform, the proposals that are out there at all, deal with that, as far as you know?
I haven't seen a lot of attention on that. It's something that's considered as we talk about guest worker programs or new visas for like low-skilled workers, because this really affects people with minimal education or lower-skilled jobs. So in the proposals we've seen so far for a new low-skilled visa worker program, employers would have to show that they've advertised a job widely, and no Americans have come up to fill those jobs. So there's consideration that we're not displacing workers, we're not trying to take jobs away. And then on the other end, for the high-tech workers, there is a built-in program that some of that money that employers have to pay into a training programs for domestic high-tech workers. So there is some consideration to, you know, let's bring up our current pool of workers there.
We're at 206-543-5869, talking to some of the people in our listening area who are undocumented workers, undocumented in this country. We're talking about immigration reform, doing a big special on it all this week. Sarah Sanchez is on the line. Sarah, am I saying your name correctly?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Are you working now?
No, I'm not working now.
Has it been hard for you to find a job here without your papers?
Yes. I worked for the past 5 years in a company. You know, I worked really hard to be in that place that I was because I was a supervisor there. So, and I started on the bottom. But the reason for that fire me, it was because my papers, you know. And after that, it was really hard to find a job.
Is there a certain amount of fear involved because you're undocumented? Is there concern that at some point someone's going to snatch you up and send you back to your country of origin?
Yeah.
How will you go forward to find a job now? How does one who doesn't have documentation look for a job?
You know, it's like everybody, I think, just applying the jobs and just waiting for a chance, you know, because it's too many good people in this country that they believe on us, you know, and I'm just waiting for the chance. I'm just keep going to apply in a jobs and, you know, like everybody, just waiting for a chance to get another job.
Sarah, I hope you do get a chance. Thank you so much for talking to us today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
You're listening to The Conversation on KUOW, and when you came in, Liz Jones, we were talking a little bit about the prospects for this. It's been tried before in recent memory. It didn't go anywhere. President Obama called it one of his top priorities. Front page of the New York Times today, Republicans endorsing immigration reform. You think we're finally going to see it this time?
A lot of people who are closely watching this are feeling much more confident this time around. And last time we had the effort was in 2007, and that went up in flames. And one of the things that kind of pulled it apart was just labor and business inability to come to an agreement on this worker issue. We're seeing them come. They started talking about this long ago. They seem to have come to an agreement on the principles of how this might work. The devil's always in the details, as people say. That's where things remain to be seen. But we're seeing some consensus on the legalization, on citizenship for the current undocumented population from both GOP leaders and from Democratic leaders as well, and from President Obama. Another issue that could possibly derail things is a difference in Obama's plan from what we've seen from the Senate so far, and that's making citizenship contingent on more border security, making it kind of a trigger for if we have to improve the border security for people to become citizens for that process to kick in. That's something that advocates see as a real problem and something that might be real tough to overcome.
So you've got another story coming up in our series, is that right?
Yeah, tomorrow we'll take an even closer look at this workplace issue here in Washington and looking at this new proposal for a low-skilled visa workers here in Washington, and specifically for the restaurant industry. It could apply to many different kinds of jobs like landscaping, gardening, other lower-skilled jobs, but I'm taking a look at the restaurant industry as an example of how this would play out.
Liz Jones, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.